T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the game on this Nap Day Monday. What is it? National, International Nap Day or some kind of
International
stuff?
Nap Day, John freaking.
Yeah, because of the lost hour over the weekend. Hopefully you didn't lose too much sleep there. Because as we learned this morning on the show from resident scientist on the doctor on the show, who says you can't make up, because I didn't know this.
Oh, no, I read it somewhere.
Oh.
I thought
you knew that.
I read it somewhere.
I was trying to give you some
props
there.
Nah, I played a doctor on television one time.
John and Hugh, Mark Owens in for Daryl today, who's taking the day off in AT as we roll through this. So it begins with free agency, by the way. Before we get to Josh Pastner, quick update. The Detroit Lions, early this morning, one-year deal with Danny Amendola for $6 million or so.
Familiarity.
Yeah, because Matt Patricia's the head coach. And Dante Fowler gets a deal from the Rams, so he's off the free agent board. So two free agents off the board overnight, Dante Fowler and Danny Amendola. So, and we see what happens. Will Tevin Coleman get a deal today? I don't know what the Falcons can really do. I mean, until they create some room here. Maybe they can come to an agreement. I don't know. You know, figure out the cap.
Tevin
later.
Might not be a first-day guy. He might be one of those guys that probably signed close to the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's trying to get the best deal for him.
Right.
Probably a lot of teams are probably trying to court him.
I imagine, though, that there's going to be some serious activity pretty fast. Le'Veon Bell is going to have multiple offers. It'll be really interesting. If he gets that bang-up offer, who knows? Maybe we could have big news with Le'Veon coming up. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open here. And, again, as we go along through free agency, as guys come off the board, we'll certainly pass that along to you. Going to be a big shift in the NFL ahead of Wednesday's opening of the league year. It'll be a lot of fun to watch if you're a football fan. It's going to be just interesting. It's also tournament week for college basketball. 4 teams in to the NCAA tournament. 68 total on Selection Sunday. ACC tournament opens tomorrow in Charlotte. And the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets will open against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And we are joined by the head coach of the Jackets, Josh Pastner, who joins us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline.
Morning, Coach.
Good morning, gentlemen. Everyone doing well this morning?
Everybody's doing awesome, Coach. How you doing?
Doing well. Well, ask me tomorrow about 4:30. I'll give you a better idea.
Yeah, you know, I was about to ask you, Coach, how would you sum up this season in a nutshell for you?
Yeah, no, here's where we're at. Look, there's no denying that losing Josh Okogie last May, who was not a top 10, and we've talked about this, wasn't one of the top 10 players in the state of Georgia senior year, was a 3-star recruit, didn't start on his AAU team. Who would have expected that he was going pro after his sophomore year? And when you're trying to rebuild and build it back up, that is a crushing blow to lose a guy in May 27th or May 28th that averaged 20 a game in the ACC. It's crushing to you. You know, a team like a Carolina or a Duke, they're getting guys where if they lose one, they have someone to replace right away. When you're trying to rebuild, like I saw Tony Bennett from Virginia this summer in the recruiting trail, he said when they were trying to rebuild it, when he took over Virginia, if they had lost a guy early like that, it would have crushed them. And so what I would tell you is we relied on guys this year that I thought was going to maybe redshirt. You know, we struggled, had some areas where we really struggled scoring. However, guys fought, they competed, they got great experience for a lot of young guys. We're a really young team. You know, we were preseason picked like 13th or 14th in the ACC. We finished 10th. Again, our goal is not to finish 10th. Our goal is to get back to the NCAA tournament and compete for ACC titles. But we're moving in the right direction. And we just had a stretch in the ACC where we really struggled to score. I mean, look, we're a really, really good defensive team. We're 6th in the country in guarding the three-point line, which is elite. That's an elite stat. And so we just had a segment where during ACC play we really struggled offensively to shoot the ball. And, you know, we make a couple shots here and there during that stretch. We have a few more wins. And, you know, this has just been a season that we continue to get better. There's been some highs and lows, but we've gotten better late. We finished, like I said, we finished on the right note. We've had some great road wins at Syracuse, at Arkansas, at North Carolina State. So we've got good momentum, and we've got basically our entire team, our core group, back for next season. We've got to continue to add some players in the spring, but we've got a great nucleus to move forward.
Talking with Josh Pastner, you had a two-year team, and then we'll get to the tournament. Three wins in your last five games. You mentioned the road win at NC State, back-to-back wins. Jose Alvarado and James Banks starting to, you know, play for you the way that you had hoped for them. You face Notre Dame tomorrow. You split with Notre Dame in the regular season. What do you see out of this Irish team that makes you think you can go in there tomorrow in Charlotte and win this game?
You know, every time we played Notre Dame since I've been here, it's been a seesaw battle. They're very good. I mean, look, Mike Gray's the winningest coach in the history of Notre Dame. They're a team that's been hit a little bit with injuries. Look, they're a team that lost seniors. And I've said it when I took over, the model that I want to try to build after is like Virginia and Notre Dame. They believe in getting old and staying old. That's the best way to win in the ACC is get old and stay old. And Notre Dame is really young this year. And you can see the results when you're really young in this league. And so, look, Notre Dame is very good. They don't they're not going to beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over. They make free throws, and they shoot a lot of three-point shots. And Mooney, John Mooney, number 33, leads the ACC. And you guys know, besides the NBA, man, this is the best basketball in North America, the ACC. There's nothing like it. And John Mooney leads the ACC in double-doubles. He averages 15 and 13 a game, 15 points, 13 boards. And one thing about them, they just always hang around. So you could be up, but they just hang around because they do shoot so many threes. I mean, basically 50% of their shots are threes. You've really got to guard the three-point line. So, you know, we'll have to play at a high level. The neutral site, it's a new season. Everyone's 0-0. And, you know, basketball is a crazy game. You guys know this. Sports, there's nothing like it. You know, we're not playing the Atlanta Hawks or the Golden State Warriors. We're playing other college teams, 18 to 22-year-old young men, and we all put our shorts and shirt on the same way. So let's see what happens this week, and let's see where the chips may fall.
Josh Pastner, head coach of Georgia Tech, ahead of the ACC tournament.
So who do you think is best in the ACC right now? Is it Virginia? Is it UNC? Or is it Duke, in your opinion?
Well, what I would tell you is this. I would be shocked if Virginia doesn't win the national championship or at least playing on Monday night. I think they're just absolutely awesome. I would be shocked if they're not playing on Monday night with one of the last two teams standing. And I really think they're going to win the whole thing. But I would tell you there's four teams from this league that are good enough to win the national championship or at least get to the Final Four. And that's why this league is so good. Virginia, North Carolina, who right now is playing as well as anybody and is good enough to win the national championship. Duke with a healthy Zion Williamson. If Zion's healthy, they're good enough to win the national championship. And I'm telling you, a sleeper team is Florida State. Florida State is really good. Those four teams, realistically, yes, everyone has a chance, but realistically, those four teams from the ACC can win the national championship or at least get to the Final Four. And, you know, anything can happen. I do think Virginia is the best. I would probably be surprised if they don't win the national championship this year.
Do you think that without Zion Williamson, Duke has a shot to go deep into the NCAA tournament?
No, I do not. They need a healthy Zion. If a healthy Zion, they are really good. I mean, Zion's going to be National Player of the Year. I assume he's going to be ACC Player of the Year. And, you know, to lose that, you know, I heard Coach K, who's obviously maybe the greatest coach in the history of any sport or darn near the top three, I heard him say when Zion Williamson went down, he says, it's a lot of gaps. It's hard to replace a guy like that. And I was like, yeah, welcome to my world when you lose Josh Okogie to the NBA. It sure is hard to replace that. So, you know, if they don't have Zion, I think he would even tell you it's going to be hard for them to make a deep run. They need a healthy Zion to make a deep run. If they have a healthy Zion, you know, they've got a lot of lottery picks on their team. And to win a national championship, you do need pros. You need a couple pros, and they've got multiple pros on their team.
Josh Pastner, head coach of Georgia Tech, joining John and Hugh live on Sports Radio 92.9. The game ahead of the ACC tournament, which opens tomorrow with Georgia Tech taking on Notre Dame in Charlotte, North Carolina, in what is a loaded ACC field. And you mentioned Zion Williamson, and we still don't know. I mean, Coach K is, you know, certainly talking like Zion's going to return, but it's going to be, Hugh brought up a point. Even if he does return on Thursday when Duke plays, it's going to be a month since he played. As great a player as he is, National Player of the Year, number one pick in the NBA draft, and a superstar in the NBA in waiting, will he have a period of time where he has to get back into game shape?
Well, yeah, and here's the other thing. You guys know this. I mean, it's not easy just to be out and then all of a sudden come back into play. And if he, I think he's going to play Thursday because I think Coach K understands to put him in that first weekend in the NCAA tournament, he's going to be rusty. He's going to need game experience or game shape or game opportunities before they get to that NCAA tournament. So I assume he's going to play Thursday so he gets some run. Look, I don't think Duke and Coach K's their ultimate goal is to win the ACC tournament. I think their ultimate goal is obviously to win the national championship on that Monday night. But they're going to want to get Zion some work in, and I do expect you know, that he's going to play on Thursday, so he does get that opportunity before the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Back to your team, Coach Pastner. How important is it for you to beat Notre Dame, get a shot at Louisville on Wednesday, to start to, you know, not only continue this late season run, but also get that kind of experience in the tournament for this team coming back next year?
Well, look, it's important that we play on Wednesday. We talked about it, you know, at the beginning of the year with our group that we need to be playing on Wednesday, whether that's getting a bye, finishing the top nine, which we didn't do. We finished one out with 10th place, or winning that first game Tuesday. So it's important for our program. I said that our two things we got to keep moving forward with our program is we got to win on the road, which we've done a nice job this year. Like I said, at Arkansas, at Syracuse, at North Carolina State. And the next step is we got to be able to play, we got to win some games in the conference tournament. And that's a big step for us. And that starts on tomorrow at 2:00. It starts tomorrow against Notre Dame, and it's not going to be easy. You guys know in postseason play, anything can happen. It's a you know, an NBA arena, and so both teams are going to be fired up. So we're going to have to be at a high level, but that's a big step for us. And then we would love to have another chance to compete against Louisville. I think Louisville's really good, but as I told our guys, we don't get that chance if we don't take care of business on Tuesday. And Notre Dame is a good basketball team that's well coached. And listen, I said they got an all-ACC guy in John Mooney who leads the ACC in double-doubles. And in the end, it's not all about coaching. It's about the Jimmies and Joes. And sometimes it's just about players making plays. And we're going to have to do a great job defensively. We've been really, really good defensively. Like I said, we're an elite three-point defensive team this year, sixth in the country. We're going to have to really, really guard again Tuesday afternoon.
Well, certainly best of luck to you. We'll be watching tomorrow, and go get Notre Dame.
Go get Coach. Coach.
Do appreciate you taking a few minutes, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, guys, appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
All right, sounds great. Josh Pastner, head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. That game, by the way, will be on Peachtree TV tomorrow with a 2 p.m. Tip-off between Georgia Tech and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And what he was saying about Zion Williamson here, you know, Duke without Zion –
doesn't have a shot.
Yeah, apparently doesn't have a shot. And they're 3-3 without Zion, which in a way, Hugh, shocks me. I understand that Zion Williamson is really a great player. I get how good he is. But this is a Duke team that has R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish. It has Young. It has Star. Let's say they never had Zion to begin with. It's a team that's good enough that you would look at it on paper. If R.J., we're talking about three top five picks.
Yeah, but they're a little bit different when he's out there because he's so big and strong and physical.
But if you had a team that just had two top five picks, like Barrett and Reddish, who are slotted at number three and number five, wouldn't you think you'd have a great chance to win the national title?
I think so, but I think that his size, it adds a different dimension, and his ability to play in the paint the way that he plays. I think that's what you're kind of missing. And you got to think too, John, the way that Duke was playing early on, they were kind of built around him. And to not have him out there, that kind of, you know, you're kind of changing everything that you're doing right now.
Hey, yeah, it is interesting, though, just that you would have two top five players and really be struggling.
Well, and plus you got to remember, Duke also lost another player on Saturday night. Marcus Bolden, their starting center, went down with an MCL sprain.
Yes, he did.
So his timetable for the tournament is unknown right now.
And he was talking about Virginia being, you know, a team with – and they've got a veteran team. I mean, with guys like Hunter and Guy, Clark. I mean, they've got a really good team. Obviously they can play defense. It's a Tony Bennett team. But after last year when they lost in the first ever number one seed to lose to a 16 in UMBC, and we can't sit around, no, a 16's never beaten a one, as now, and that was Virginia last year, they have something serious to prove. And we've seen this and heard this about Virginia over the course of, 30-some-odd years. Back to Ralph Sampson, we've seen and heard of this about how Virginia was going to be great. And boy, you know what? It'd be interesting to see if they do finally win a national title, because nobody really talks about them, Hugh. They talk about Gonzaga. They talk about Duke. They talk about, they've talked about Michigan this year. They haven't, talked much at all about Virginia, even though Virginia is, lurking right there and on the number one spot, on the number one line, and has only lost, two games all year, I think, right? I think two.
I think you're right on that.
1-1 the final. Atlanta United now 0-1-1 in MLS. So is Cincinnati. By virtue of goal difference, Atlanta United will stay ahead of Cincinnati on the table. Lots of unanswered questions, though, for the five stripes. More to come in a moment. 1-1 the final, Atlanta United and Cincinnati.
That was Mike Conney at the end of the game last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and Mike Conney is sitting to my right and live and in person in the studios. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning to you, Mike.
Guys, how are you?
How are
we all doing on this beautiful Monday morning?
We're not doing too good, Mike Conte. No. We're not doing too good.
Yeah, Twitters are lighting us up too, and what are you going to do?
I mean, look, I think it's great that people are passionate and asking questions, and it's like I said on the post-game show yesterday, this is as bad as they've played all year, even though they didn't lose. I do want to remind people that they did not lose, but this is as bad as they've played. So you would feel better if they were kind of going in the right direction, if they were showing improvement, if they were showing signs that things were starting to connect finally. And I think you got just the opposite yesterday. They're still defending very well, and that's a conversation we can have. But in the attacking third, it's not there yet, and it seems even more disjointed now. And that's why I think a lot of the people that are tweeting and calling into your program this morning are saying what they're saying.
How much of this is growing pains and just getting to know a new coach and everything?
I think it's obviously a lot, because you have a new manager who's implementing a new system. We thought when this all started that it would not be a new system. I think clearly now we know it is a new system. The shape is not dramatically different, 3-4-3 as opposed to 3-5-2. But it looks like the responsibility of what players have to do out there is different, somewhat dramatically. So you're learning a new system under a new coach. However, it is your fifth match now, and at a certain point, you get to the line where you say, all right, it's not early anymore. Okay, we've played enough competitive matches together. I mean, they've played 5 competitive matches and 4 more preseason matches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's 9 games now where you've had the opportunity to kind of figure this out, and they aren't there yet. I do think there are 2 very big factors in play with all of this. If I were to tell you what they are, would you promise me that you would not say you're making excuses? Because it's going to sound like I'm making excuses, but I think it's a real thing. You promise?
I'm not going
to
say
that. Are you talking to us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, fine. I'm good.
Okay, just making sure. All right, look, here's the thing. Since last Thursday when you played Herediano, a week ago Thursday, all right, you had the match at Herediano. If you assume that you do not have a full training the day after a game, because the guys who played 90 minutes are going through what they call regen, where they're trying to get their muscles loose and, basically trying to recover from putting in that work rate the night before. If you believe they're doing regen the day after a game, and if you believe the day before a match, they're going through a walkthrough, basically. You're not going to go too hard the day before a match. Then Atlanta United has only had truly 1 full day to train as a team with everyone in the last 11 days, okay? Because you have the whole match against Herediano, day after a game, day before D.C. where you're traveling. You play D.C. Day after D.C., you're traveling again, 5-hour flight to Mexico. That takes you to the day before the match at Monterey, match day in Monterey. You're traveling all day Thursday to get back to the United States. Friday, there's your training, which, by the way, is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not the training ground. Saturday is the day before a game. You had the game yesterday. So you have a new coach. You're implementing a new system. You're playing the same guys. So how can you get better if you aren't able to dedicate more time to train? And this is where I think the CONCACAF Champions League has had kind of a burdensome effect on this club right now. I know they embrace the opportunity to play in an international competition, but it's killing them right now from the standpoint of match compression and travel. And the other thing I would say, and again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm making excuses. I think this is a real thing. If you watched all 90 minutes of that match yesterday, I think you could clearly see, especially as the second half went along, that the legs were starting to go. This team is tired. And why wouldn't they be? Three matches in 6 days. Four matches in, what, 9 days. They're in the span of six matches in 18 days. They still have two more to go. So, look, I mean, they're underperforming and they know it, but I think you got to cut them a little bit of slack here.
All right, I have two things that I want. Number one, there were two.
You promised, Jack.
I'm not making excuses. I'm asking a question. There were two balls, one on a corner, one on a cross, that went across the face of the goal to an empty net, and nobody got a foot on
it. Well, one was a mistake. The one where Larenowitz almost headed it in and you had no one on the back post. I think that was just an alignment mistake. I'm trying to remember the other.
Joseph and they just went right through the box, and nobody went up there to hit it.
So, well, I mean,
that was probably the cross by Petey.
Might have been. Yeah, I'm struggling to remember it. I'll have to go back. I mean, that's a real thing. In the final third right now, it's still not clicking. It absolutely is not clicking in the final third. It has not been clicking really all year, save for the home match against Herediano. You know, again, you're taking Miguel Almiron out. You're putting Pity Martinez in. They're two outstanding players, but they do different things. And I think some people here in this town have just assumed that you're going to be able to plug Pity Martinez into Miguel Almiron's spot and everything's going to be normal. They really play two different positions. And I think there's been a little bit, to use Hugh's term, I think there's been some growing pains there. And again, the way that they're playing now, the responsibility with the ball is a little bit different than what it was last year when Tata basically said, okay, go out. Just attack. Give the ball away if you have to. We'll go get it back. Get down there. Put as much on net as possible and just attack, attack, attack. It's not the same here.
Mike Connie, the play-by-play voice of the United. Second thing real quick, if I can, Hugh, is that you're right. I see tired legs out there. Presuming they don't advance at CONCACAF, that's a safe presumption. After the Philadelphia game on Sunday, one game in a month. At that point, I'll reserve judgment till they come back from that. You know,
okay, I think that's fair.
You know, and let's see what they start to do. But having said that, Mike, doesn't DeBoer have to, as Taylor Twellman was on the broadcast, you and I were talking about it, he's basically saying, you got to unleash these horses. You can't just sit back. I mean, you got to let them play.
Yeah. I mean, I respect Taylor Twellman, and he's not the only one to say that among the national soccer media. I think you got to give it a little bit more time. And I wince as I say that because I know people are getting impatient in this town. But I think it would be ill-advised to throw out the philosophy after five matches in one in which you have not lost at home and you've lost all three matches on the road. It's not unusual, by the way, to lose a lot of road matches in soccer, especially when you're playing at Monterrey and in Costa Rica and at D.C., which might be the best team in the East this year, one of the three, if not the best. You still haven't lost at home yet. So I know it feels bad, doesn't feel good. They're really not in terrible shape right now. They're in trouble in CONCACAF. But as I said, I think it might be a slight blessing in disguise if those matches go away because it's causing problems.
So with that being said, we have, what, three matches before we have a long extended break?
Two
matches
more.
before we have a long extended break.
Mm-hmm.
So when is it okay to – I don't want to say push the panic button or have cause for some concern if it doesn't change.
Right now. No, I have cause for concern right now because, again, it regressed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I could accept a 1-1 draw against Cincinnati if I felt like, okay, that's the best they've played all year. I don't feel that was even close to the best they've played all year. It might have been the worst they've played all year.
I trust that Pity is going to get better. I don't know that I trust that Breck Shea is.
Well, but you got to remember, John, that George Bello's been hurt. Fortunately, he was able to play Saturday night for ATL UTD2, so he's close to coming back. I don't think the idea was that Breck Shea was going to be your everyday starter at left wing back. I think the assumption was he and George Bello would split time. You've put a lot on Breck Shea's plate, and I think he's done okay. I think he's become a whipping boy for some reason, and you know, look, everyone has made mistakes. Breck Shea maybe stands out a little bit because he's tall and he has a ponytail. I think he's done just about as well as he can. George Bello is coming back. Franco Escobar is coming back. It's interesting to me that we forget that you have two very key players, including a guy that was maybe your best player in the playoffs last year, that have not played. So, again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but I think there are some explanations for why some of this has happened.
Some intangibles.
Yeah, and look, do you guys really think a group this talented is going to let this fester? You've got the reigning South American Player of the Year, the reigning MLS MVP and all-time single-season goal-scoring record holder. You've got two of the five finalists for Defender of the Year last year.
Mm-hmm.
You have, what, four All-Stars from last year on this team. They're too talented to let this fester. This will get fixed. You're starting fresh, and it's going to take time. And unfortunately, you were thrown into this international competition that added to a lot of match compression right at the start of the year and created some very complicated travel.
Doesn't help that the new manager, says the fans are spoiled. I mean, that did not help.
Well, you're taking that out of context, I think. We are spoiled in Atlanta. An expansion team went to the playoffs in 2017 and won a championship in their second year.
In December.
Right. We are spoiled. It's a difference. Did he say they're acting spoiled? No. He said they're spoiled. We are spoiled. It's uncommon for a team to have this kind of success this quickly. It's raised the expectations. They're not meeting the expectations right now. I get it. That's frustrating. I think you're taking that comment completely out of context. He did not say the fans are acting spoiled. He said, we're spoiled here. We are.
We're going to hug it out.
I love you guys. But I'm going to correct the record when I think it needs to be corrected.
Nobody's mad at anybody.
No, we're not mad, but we're going to hug. We're going to have a big old group hug after this.
Get
a
mic.
You got two home matches this week where if you get results in both of them, you'll feel a lot better going into that break, and then we're having a totally
just like
discussion.
Mike Conti said, y'all back up off Atlanta United. They got a lot of stuff going on. They've been traveling a lot, and their legs is tired.
Yeah, ain't no fans coming out of the stands to attack any players, thank God.
Oh, God, that was awful. Huh?
Yeah.
Just awful.
Thanks, Mike. Do
no
appreciate
problem.
It.
I really do love you guys,
man. Right, and we love you,
we
too,
We love
Mike.
You, too, Mike. I like your passion, though. I do like that passion.
Gotta be.
Yeah. As we continue, did you see that, by the way? Well, maybe we'll talk about that in a moment on Sports Radio 92 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic. 7 Saltworth, UTL Traffic Lady from the Game Time Traffic Center. This update sponsored by BMW. Still lots of volume for you out there today. So many crashes and incidents and accidents. So it was a rough Monday trying to head on back and get yourself on notice as you try to get back to where you need to go with 1 hour less of sleep. Coming in 85, trying to make a trip southbound. Looks like things are looking much better, actually, outside the perimeter. It's 285 west, though, trying to get over to work 400 from Spaghetti Junction is where you're going to find your volume. 85 inside the perimeter, that's still busy approaching 400. Had a crash ramp in between 85 and 400 there. Also have one on 75 south, trying to get yourself to Atlantic Station and the downtown connector. Connector north with top of the Grady Curve with an incident, and 285 headed north over by Memorial. Through April 1st at your local Atlanta area BMW centers, get exceptional lease offers on the all-new 2019 BMW X5. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Visit BMWATL.com for more details. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Stephanie Stallworth on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh. This hour of the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. We want to thank Mike Conti. I guess I was also a little remiss in saying that Mike Conti is brought to you by Brightbox. I will say this. There's some weird things going on in sports. Now, today's a big day. It's opening a free agency and all in the NFL, and we're certainly going to monitor what happens with that. But some weird things happened in sports over the weekend. In the English Premier League, there was an assault on the field during the Birmingham City-Aston Villa game where a fan, Hugh, named Paul Mitchell, not to be confused with anybody's shampoo, runs onto the pitch and assaults the star of Aston Villa, Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
I mean, runs up behind him and throws a haymaker.
And punched him in the back of the neck. Hard.
Thank goodness he didn't have a knife or anything.
Yeah. He was a little bit out of pocket for that one. He was definitely out of pocket for that one.
Now, this guy's going to go to prison for a while because of this. But, boy, it just, you know, the English had a problem with hooliganism for a long time. They've tamped that down. But you can bet that there are people that are concerned in the EPL about the possible rise of hooliganism again in their league. It is something that they've monitored for a long time.
Yeah, that was ridiculous, though. This guy ran out on the pitch. And you know what they need to do? They need to get better, younger, spryer security. because the security guy in the orange vest tried to run him down. He did not have a chance. And this old man, Paul Mitchell, didn't look like he was a young guy. It didn't look like he was somebody that, you know, that would get away from you when he was running. But, yeah, he got away from him.
So that was one thing. Another weird thing that happened over the weekend is that the Knicks owner has skin so incredibly thin that he has banned a fan for life from Madison Square Garden just because he told him to sell the team.
Sell the team!
Anything I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
Yeah, that's ruined.
What's your opinion?
No, it's not an opinion.
Enjoy watching him on TV. James Dolan has the thinnest skin of any human being on the world. Sell the team. And Madison Square Garden comes out and says, our policy is we will continue to be that if you're disrespectful to anyone in our venues, we'll ask you not to return. He just said, sell the team.
Okay, well, it's his team, right?
Wait a minute. What if the team is disrespectful with their performance?
Yeah, I mean, you tell him to sell the team.
John, I'm not saying it's right, but is it not his building? Is it not his team?
That's just an awful look.
No, it's a bad look. No question about it. But I bet you won't nobody else say that to him in the face if they want to go to any more games.
They will. You might have a few that'll say it to him.
And lose privileges for life.
If Knicks fans had any pride, they would. It's 18,000 or however many are there, would all just sell the team.
No, it would be like, you know, who would get some leeway? Well, he kicked Barkley out though, didn't he? Oakley. He put Oak out. If Spike or somebody like that
took him out in handcuffs,
New York
Knicks legend.
You know what? Maybe I need to leave that man alone.
Well, I'm glad when I work for Mr. Dolan, I never said sell the network. God forbid.
Damn, John, who didn't you work for?
And just about nobody.
Damn, you work for everybody.
North, south, east, west.
You know, so I'm glad I didn't say sell the network. Man. I mean, come on, seriously, sell the team. I mean, if he had attacked him personally, you know.
This is a lesson to all. This is the equivalent to Twitter thugging. But this person thought that he was going to say whatever he wanted to say while he looked right at him in the face.
But
he gave him an opportunity not to say nothing.
Unlike criticism that comes towards the players, that the guy kept it clean.
Yeah.
He didn't say any profanity.
He just said
so
the team.
What is his problem?
I don't know. I mean, his problem is he's thin-skinned, like nobody's business. I mean,
he's the owner of the team.
Me. I mean, he just sounds like just the.
And he's exercising his right to act a donkey, with every chance he gets. He's exercising his right to act a donkey. I'm not saying it's right, but he's well within his rights to do what he wants to do with his franchise. And if he feels like that's disrespectful, then you know.
Well, if there's a lesson to be learned, Atlanta United fans, you better not say anything to Arthur Blank.
Negative. I don't think Mr. Blank would do anything like that. I don't think he would rise to that level of pettiness. Now, see, Dolan, I understand that kind of petty. I understand that level of petty. That's super petty.
Of the owners I'm familiar with around the various leagues, this guy is at the top of the list.
Of petty?
Of petty.
Oh, believe
it. I can't think of
you arrested Charles Oakley and then had him gripped up. Had him gripped up at the game.
Now, Daniel Snyder might be that. That might be Daniel Snyder from an NFL standpoint. Baseball, that would have been Steinbrenner. But I can't think of very many more guys who we would put in that.
Yeah, the difference between Steinbrenner and Dolan and Snyder is that Steinbrenner was actually a great owner. He was thin-skinned, but he was a great owner.
Yeah.
And these other two are not great owners. They're bad owners.
When you listen to the cut, when the dude said it, he knew that the other shoe was going to drop it. He knew he was about to get his privileges.
Enjoy watching him on TV.
Wait.
Well, this is going to be the kicker.
I'm sorry.
If those weren't his tickets and he was using someone else's tickets? Oh, man.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Give me your ticket stuff. It's no. No. If they weren't my tickets, if it was a friend of mine and they gave me the tickets, I got to eat those tickets. But then again, the seat, they can check the seats. Yeah, you might be, yeah.
Well, maybe not, though, because he came over towards him near the rail.
Yeah, you got to eat that ticket.
So if he took off running,
yeah,
which would have been the best idea for him, maybe they couldn't catch him.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, you gotta go eat them tickets, cause you're about to get your friend tickets taken away forever. But wait, I didn't mean.
How do you explain that to your buddy or your boss? It's a client's tickets.
Hey,
listen,
dog,
we need to talk.
Up.
I appreciate the tickets. I mean, you don't want to go back this season, do you?
Yeah, man. We'll watch what'll happen.
You ain't going back ever.
The Knicks will get Zion. They'll get Kevin Durant. They'll get Kyrie. They'll get really good, really fast, and somebody's going to be out, and they're going to be all, you know, mad. But, hey, but you know, again, the fan, if you can't, as a fan, yell, sell the team, that's just pathetic. I'm sorry. We have to be able to have a voice. I mean, and fans, by the way, the fan's right. let's go to the fact the fan is right. James Dolan needs to sell the team.
So where's the line for fandom? Where's the line? Because we just had two different examples of fandom.
Mm-hmm.
One fan jumps out on the field and punches somebody in the back of the neck. And then we have one fan that is yelling, sell the team, and gets kicked out. So where's the line drawn for what fans can and cannot do for you?
Well, I don't think I always say you can't go on the field. Fans can't go on the field, and players can't go in the stands.
But you can yell and scream whatever you want to scream.
Well,
within reason.
Within reason. I think it's reasonable to yell, sell the team. You know, you start throwing the, you know.
You start talking about people, mama, and stuff like that.
That's not probably acceptable.
That's a little bit too much.
Rick and John, top of the hour. I guess Mark Owens just slides right into the next show. You got some extra duty today, huh?
I'm exhausted. You guys are exhausted. An hour and a half, I've had enough of you guys.
Oh. Well, we feel the same way about you. On Sports Radio 92, the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.